This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and I can say it truthfully this time. We are live at the D. We are live on Twitter at VSiN Live. We are live on YouTube as well as we get you ready for conference championship weekend alongside my partner in crime, Matt Eumanns. 9 games this weekend, Matt, all with a point spread of a touchdown or less.
Yeah, it's kind of odd not to see any double-digit favorites here in conference championship weekend. And it's also odd, Tim, not to see a college football board with about 50 games on it.
It does make me a little sad. It makes me a little sad. But
isn't it crazy how the college football season just seems like it flies by?
It really does. We spend all offseason getting ready, looking at win totals, looking at futures bets, and then it starts and feels like it's gone in a blink of an eye. But before it goes away, we still have conference championships. We have the playoff that has expanded, of course, bowl season, which is something that you and I both love to handicap and break down. But before we get there, let's get to the 9 games at hand. We will go through all 9 of these games. We'll have thoughts on every single game. We'll have best bets as well. So let's get to it. If you're new to the program, the biggest games of the weekend, we call them the main course.
The main course.
All right, Matt, let's jump right into it. 4 o'clock Eastern on ABC. Number 2, Texas. Number 5, Georgia. Did these teams play already this year? Yes, they did. I'm glad you asked. October 19th, down in Austin, Texas was a 4-point favorite, and Georgia won that game 30-15. How about the fact that the total in that game was 57? The total in this game is 50. The point spread, we'll call it 3, but there are 2.5s if you like the favorite in Texas. Just the second time that Georgia has been an underdog since 2021, and they've won both of those games. In 21, they beat Clemson. This year, of course, they beat Georgia. Impressive performance defensively last week, Matt, by Texas, holding the Aggies of Texas A&M to just 248 yards. Georgia is hopeful that they will get their stud running back, Trevor Etienne, back. He's been out for a couple of weeks dealing with some rib injuries. What do you see in this one, and is there a bet for you to make?
Did you say something about the McRib?
I did not say anything about the McRib. I know you like the McRib quite a bit.
You said rib injuries. That's what you said. That would definitely be a boost to Georgia if Trevor Etienne can come back. And, you know, really, when you look at the first matchup between these teams, Carson Beck, quarterback for Georgia, was bad. He threw 3 interceptions, did not pass for a touchdown. Despite that, Georgia won the game 30-15. And a lot of that had to do with Georgia's defense being dominant and the Bulldogs' ability to run the ball and stop the run on the Texas side. Now, I was on Georgia in the first meeting, Tim. We talked about that a lot. I thought the line was crazy. I took Georgia +5. Texas kept getting bet up that week. I thought it was insane that Georgia was a 5-point underdog. Well, guess what? Texas getting bet up again this week. So you got me. I'm playing the Bulldogs again here. DraftKings, South Point, a few other books out there moved to 3. I'm taking Georgia +3. Georgia controlled the game from the start the first time these teams met in middle of October. 23-0 at halftime. That had a lot to do with Texas making costly mistakes on offense. Georgia's defense forced 4 turnovers, totaled 7 sacks, held the Longhorns to 29 yards on the ground. Now, I don't think we're going to see a repeat performance here because Longhorns coach Steve Sarkisian is going to learn, I think, from what went wrong. And obviously, I would think that everything that went wrong for Texas in the first meeting is not going to go wrong this time. I also think his play calling is going to be better than it was the first time around. And from the Texas perspective here, I think it's really important that you handicap this as well. I think Sarkisian's got to work in both quarterbacks. He's got to play Arch Manning more. You know, I've had a lot of Texas fans upset because I seem to be fading Texas a lot this season. I don't like Quinn Ewers. I'm willing to bet against Quinn Ewers when Texas was laying a lot of points. And again, last week, what'd he do, Tim? He threw a 90-yard pick 6 to put Texas A&M right back in the game. And, of course, Texas A&M found a way to screw it up. The Aggies couldn't score from the 1-yard line. But Arch Manning, to me, makes Texas much more dangerous offensive team because he's a running threat. Maybe he doesn't have the complete grasp of the offense that Ewers has, obviously as a veteran. But I think Arch makes the Longhorns a lot more dangerous. And if he played more, I think I would respect Texas a little bit more as a serious national championship contender. I don't think Ewers is going to get him there. As far as this game goes, though, I've got to take Georgia +3, especially the game being played in Atlanta. I think Kirby Smart's going to have his team ready to play. And, again, you could say, well, the same season rematches, a lot of times you want to play the team that lost the first game. Not necessarily. 7 rematches in the SEC Conference Championship game from regular season games. And the team that won the first game won the Conference Championship game 5 out of 7 times. So I think Georgia's going to complete the sweep here. Or at least I'll take the +3.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was looking up to your point about Arch Manning. Arch Manning, anytime touchdown at DraftKings is sitting at 3-1. He found the end zone on the ground against Texas A&M. He is that change of pace. He's rushed for 4 touchdowns this year. So, look, if you're getting a little creative, obviously not as fruitful as a card this week with only 9 games, 6 on Saturday, 3 on Friday, 3-1 for Arch Manning to find the end zone. Looking at the total, initially my inclination was, hey, let me look at the under here in this one. Well, you've had a massive adjustment, right? This game in Austin, as mentioned, total was 57. Right now you're looking at 49.5 and or 50. These two teams played a slugfest the first time out. Neither team going over 300 yards, but what did happen? 7 total turnovers, and you are right there around this current total. And now you're playing on a fast track down there in the Georgia Dome. So that would have been my initial lean, would be the look under, but I just at that adjustment 6 weeks removed from where we saw this game in Austin, a touchdown difference, Matt, that's gonna leave me to stay off this game. Carson Beck, you know, you look at Carson Beck, you mentioned his performance that he had down in Austin. He threw 3 interceptions. He has been allergic to keeping it away from the opposite team. I will say, in his defense, he has not thrown an interception the last 3 games. He has played, it feels like, a little bit better from his standpoint. And then I'll go back to Kirby Smart. So he's been the head coach of Georgia since 2016. Year 1, they found themselves in that dog roll quite a bit. Overall, Kirby Smart as a dog, 8-4 against the spread. However, since the first year, he was the head coach in 16, 5-2 against the spread since 2017. And then, as I mentioned to start, he's only been an underdog twice since 2021. But the number that's pretty wild, Kirby Smart straight up against ranked teams, 26-15. Look, this is a guy that feels like gets the best out of his team in the most important times. You think about the game earlier this season against Tennessee where they won us to 2 touchdowns, 1 by 2 touchdowns. They won down in Austin. So I would be on your side or pass. As of right now, I'm going to be staying off this game, but I would be dog or pass here in this spot.
I'm on the dog. All right. For the second time in the Georgia-Texas matchup here. And I think you got to consider Georgia, despite the loss to Ole Miss a couple weeks ago, which I know discouraged a lot of bettors. Despite the 8 overtime win against Georgia Tech, when Tech should have won the game a week ago, I like Georgia here, and I think Kirby Smart gets another SEC championship.
Well, and the thing, too, is the ramifications of the winner of this game. Georgia right now number 5 in the college football playoff rankings. If they win, they get a bye. Do they go to number 2? Do they go to number 1? Well, that might have something to do with the night game on Saturday night. Let's go to Lucas Oil Stadium, CBS, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Number 3 Penn State, number 1 Oregon. We like to call him Big Game James, and that's a bit of a term of endearment because he does not win big games.
Nine straight losses
as a underdog. James Franklin, he is 1-16 straight up against top 5 teams. Earlier this year, a side that you were on, unfortunately, does not get home. As a dog at home, they lose 20-13 to the Penn State Nittany Lions against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Great for Oregon. They saw the return of Tez Johnson last week against Washington, 3 catches for 36 yards. He's had some really impressive performances this year. Oregon has been strong on the ground, stopping the run, 112 yards per game allowed. Can Tyler Warren be the difference maker for Penn State? 81 catches, 978 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's also rushed for 4 touchdowns. Oddly enough, he did not rush on first down, second down, third down, or fourth down when they were playing Ohio State. I know that might bring up some bad memories there. Oh, what do you make of this one, Matt? 3.5 is the point spread right now, Penn State and Oregon.
I would really like to get on the Penn State side here.
I know you would.
But I'm not going to do it. Not as of right now. Not as of when we're taping this show. The temptation might be too much by the time we get to Saturday. I might just live bet this game. Oregon, I think, has been a little bit disappointing in terms of I expected this offense to put up a lot bigger numbers. And Dylan Gabriel, who I thought was going to win the Heisman, he's got good numbers. 73.5% completions, 24 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's got 7 rushing touchdowns. But, Tim, I thought he was going to put up 30-plus TD passes and be the Heisman winner. And this Oregon offense has been a little bit disappointing to me. And also, I think Oregon, what we've seen late in the season, especially in the game when the Ducks barely escaped against Wisconsin and Madison, and that Wisconsin team is very unimpressive. I think we've seen the Ducks lose a little bit of steam late in the season. I would like to bet on James Franklin here, but again, we call him Big Game James as a joke because he's a bully. He's the classic bully who beats the bad teams.
Ask Mike Locksley about that.
Yep, and he can't get it done when he steps up in class against the elite opponents. So that factor right now is keeping me off Penn State. But I got to tell you, you take James Franklin out of the equation, I would bet Penn State +3.5 here.
Total sitting at 49.5, 50. There is a 3 out there. If you're looking to bet the favorite, the folks at South Point have that 3. 3.5 move, juice is moving at a number of shops, so we'll see where this ultimately lands. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. When we come back, we head to the Queen City of Charlotte. SMU, do they need a win to get into the college football playoff? And if so, will they get that win against the Clemson Tigers? We keep it rolling. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always on the Thursday edition of the podcast by Matt Eumanns. Follow him on social media at MattEumanns247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. And hello to all of the new viewers as we are streaming this live on this Thursday on our Twitter handle at VSiN Live, also on YouTube.com. But as just a reminder, we do this podcast 3 times a week, so do check it out wherever you get your podcasts. All right, one best bet already in the books on this championship weekend. Matt taking the candy with the Georgia Bulldogs, 3 points with Georgia. No play yet on Penn State, Oregon, but if James Franklin were not the head coach, it would be Nittany Lions.
That's kind of lame analysis, I know, because James Franklin is the head coach, and you can't change him out before the Big Ten championship game or before the playoffs, but I am tempted to bet Penn State there. I think that number is just a shade high. I made it the true number Oregon 3, and I would I said I'd have to consider taking anything more than 3 with Penn State. But as of today, not going to do it.
Money coming in on Oregon. We'll see if those 3s start to pop. There is a 3 out there for those folks in Nevada at South Point. All right, let's head to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'll be honest, I was pretty fortunate to cash a future I gave out about 2 months ago here on this podcast. Clemson to make the ACC championship at even money, and it looked like that one was dead and buried. But thankfully, Fran Brown, who asked for his thanks after the victory, got it done. Kyle McCord and company beat Miami 42-38. So Clemson backdoors their way into the ACC championship, where they will take on the Ponies of SMU. Number 17 Clemson, number 8 SMU. You can watch this game 8 o'clock Eastern Saturday on ABC. Clemson has thrived in the ACC championship. They're 9-1 all time in the ACC championship. They've won 8 straight. They're 7-0 when it's played at Bank of America Stadium there in Charlotte. What was interesting to note about this game, Matt, the folks at Circa, and we sit here at the D where there's a Circa Sportsbook behind us, they opened this game Clemson 3. It is now SMU 2.5. So massive amounts of movement towards the SMU Ponies. And I'm curious your mindset on this, because when I see something move all that far, especially off of a sharp book like Circa, it feels like a bit of an overreaction to me. And I'm in on Clemson. I took 2.5. I took some money line. I think there's another way to potentially attack this game as well, which I'll get to from a unique market standpoint. But I like Clemson here in this spot. SMU, 75th strength of schedule. When you look at who they've beaten so far in the ACC, 5 of their 8 conference wins have come against ACC teams with 3-5 records or worse. I think this is a good football team. The pressure's on them now. It almost feels like Clemson, Matt, playing with a little bit of house money heading into this game where they will clearly have the fan advantage there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if the fan advantage means much of anything. I think it's more of a location advantage,
sure,
right, to where you're familiar playing close to home and things like that. And it's a road trip for SMU. And I go back to the first game of the season, August 24th, Tim. I was sitting, I believe, at the Circa watching SMU Nevada. And the Wolfpack up in Reno had a 24-13 lead on SMU with 10 minutes to go in the game. And Mustangs were lucky to rally and come back and win that game. There's no way you could have sold me at that point on SMU being a playoff team. But here we are. 11-1 and a shot to make the playoffs. And Brett Lashley is one of the hottest coaches out there right now, doing a great job. And he's an innovative offensive mind. In the last 4 games, this SMU offense really cranked it up, 39.3 points per game over the last 4. You look at the one loss for SMU this season, that was against BYU. And that was in Dallas, 18-15.
Mm-hmm.
How'd the BYU defense hold SMU to 15 points?
Wrong quarterback was playing. Yeah. Preston Stone was starting, not Kevin Jennings.
Yeah, Jennings has been the guy the rest of the way, essentially since the middle of September. I think I'm with you here. So I trust the circuit odds makers. These guys are they're sharp. If they make Clemson a 3-point favorite, I don't think the number should swing all the way to 2.5 the other way. In fact, I think right now, if you look at the screen, there is a 2.5 out there at South Point. If you want to bet Clemson 2.5, mostly the market's stabilized a little bit to where SMU is a 1.5-point favorite right now. But the circa odds makers are sharp. They made Clemson 3 here for a reason. And I do think the location advantage is something you have to pay attention to. Also, SMU, is there a lot of pressure in this type of situation? Because I'll tell you this, when you watch the College Football Playoff Committee bracket this week, and this playoff committee is a combination of corrupt and incompetent. But what's going to happen? So SMU is the 8-seeded team, but it also has a first-round bye.
Correct.
If SMU loses this game, it's going to drop from a first-round bye to all the way out of the bracket. I think that's pretty obvious. That's what's
so
going to happen.
So are you convinced of that? Because we had Brett McMurphy on on the show on Monday, and I feel like I'm on a bit of an island. So over at DraftKings and FanDuel, you can bet, not in every state, but in certain states, you could still bet to make or miss the playoff. And both SMU and Alabama are massive favorites to make the playoff, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me since it's a two-way market. So if you believe Clemson can win this game like I do, and I think they will, and I think at plus 115 on the money line is certainly a bet that I think you can make. I have personally made that bet. But I've also put a little bit of pizza money, as we like to say, on Alabama to miss the playoff because Alabama's not playing. Indiana's not playing. Ohio State's not playing. Tennessee's not playing. SMU's playing. And I've seen a lot of jokes been thrown out there saying, well, SMU should just not play the game. Hey, we got COVID. Can't play the game. And then would they be in the field of 12? So it's interesting to note that Clemson, with a win, could knock SMU all the way out. I think this is a closer game. If SMU gets blown out, that's why it's not a massive play for me. But I think if this is a single-digit loss for SMU, call me crazy, I think SMU still gets in. I think Alabama's out. So I think those odds are just a little inflated. So I think at plus 275 at DraftKings or plus 285 at FanDuel, I think it's worth a little pizza bet on Alabama to miss the playoff if you're like me and you think SMU loses on Saturday night down in Charlotte.
I'm going to call you crazy. Not just because
you're not the first one.
Not just because of that one statement you made right there, but backroom politics have a lot to do with who's going to be the 12 teams going to be in the bracket. You want the highest ratings. You might want the sexiest matchups. Tim, you're old enough to remember when TCU and Baylor got screwed and left out of a playoff, right?
Now, they didn't play a conference championship game.
I know, but still.
One true champion in the Big 12.
Is it unfair? Is it unfair that you can play a conference championship game and lose and be penalized for that? Yeah, it's unfair. You probably heard the life isn't fair, and that's just the way it's going to play out here, because who's going to draw higher TV ratings and attract more money and be a sexier matchup, Alabama or SMU off an ACC championship game loss?
I heard it all week. I get it. And to be honest, as a football fan, I would prefer Alabama to go to South Bend. I think that would be unbelievable. I think
so would the playoff committee. So would the TV networks, and they're going to push for that. It's going to be backroom politics.
Call me a contrarian, but I will. Not a big full unit size, but I do like Clemson. I think they win this game, and I think this is finally when, you know, SMU deserves a lot of credit. They lost R.J. Merrill, their tight end. He's been out since mid-October. I think they really feel his loss. And by the way, Cade Klubnik, look at some of his rushing props. I think he's going to utilize his legs. Would you? Cade Klubnik has rushed for more yards this year than Kevin Jennings. He's an athletic dude, game-winning touchdown against Pitt. I've been impressed by Cade Klubnik. So I will be on Clemson. I will take the 2.5. I have some money line and a little pizza bet on Alabama to miss the playoff. All right, you mentioned matchups that are sexy, like Alabama and Notre Dame in a potential showdown. Well, we also like some spicy matchups, a little off the radar. So let's get to those.
Spicy matchups.
All right, one up in Albertson Stadium, and we'll hit this full breakdown, continue on the other side of the break. But number 20, UNLV, at number 10, Boise State, 8 o'clock Eastern on Friday night on Fox. And I did ask my good friend, a local meteorologist here in town, different one than what you're mentioning, regarding the weather, temps.
Blizzard.
30 degrees, upper 20s, and that courtesy of Justin Bruce from the ABC affiliate in Vegas. So very, very trustworthy.
So it's not going to be bone-chilling cold, and there's not going to be snow, and there's not going to be high winds.
Nope, okay. No winds. It's going to be chilly, but it's not going to be brutally cold up there on Albertson Stadium. We're going to hit this on the other side of the break, but let's just set it up here real quickly. These two teams played October 25th at Allegiant Stadium. Boise State won 29-24. They covered the 4-point spread. The total in that game was 64. And similar to what we saw in the SEC championship, the totals moved almost a full touchdown to the under. 57.5 is where we're at. And we've seen money hit the market today on Boise State as this number has gone from 4 back to 4.5. And 5. Our thoughts on UNLV Boise State coming up on the other side. That's Matt Eubanks. I'm Tim Murray. We still have to get to the AAC championship game, the Big 12 championship game. We're rolling along. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. More best bets and breakdowns coming up on the other side right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Continue to break down the conference championship weekend alongside Matt Eubanks. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to all of you joining us live on Twitter today, X at VSiN Live, also live on YouTube. As always, you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We give you 3 episodes each and every week, and may have a special episode on Sunday at some point to give you some first thoughts on the college football playoff when that is ultimately unveiled, as well as bowl games. I love betting me some bowl games. But we hit on it before we hit the break. Let's circle back to it. UNLV and Boise State. Boise State in a great spot. If they win, not only will they be in, but they will head to immediately into the quarterfinal round. UNLV, because of Tulane's loss on Thanksgiving, Matt, this now sets up as a true win and in game. The UNLV Rebels, with a win on Friday night, would be headed to the college football playoff, which is just absolutely crazy to say. So Boise State did indeed get the cover and the win here at Allegiant Stadium back in late October on a Friday night. Interesting to note, as I mentioned, UNLV closed a 4-point home dog They are now a 4.5-point road dog, telling us that either Boise State, in the eyes of the odds makers, has taken a step back since October 25th, or UNLV has taken a step forward. What do you make of this game on Friday night on the Smurf Turf?
I'd say it's a combination. First of all, I thought that number the first time around was a little high. And the Rebels had a great chance to win that game and made a couple critical mistakes and ended up losing 29-24. But if you were on the Rebels in that game like I was, you didn't feel like you were on the dead wrong side. Just had a little bit of bad luck in a couple of spots, and Boise pulled out the 5-point win. UNLV's defense did a better job of bottling up Ashton Genty than any other defense has this season. In that game, he rushed 28 times for 100 and, or 33 times for 128 yards. Tim, he's averaging 190.7 yards per game. That's 2,288 yards over 12 games, 190.7 per game. UNLV held him to 128 over 33 carries. I think it's going to be more difficult in the cold up on the blue turf to hold down Ashton Genty in a battle that's going to be won mostly on the ground here. And I think Boise's going to grind out a win. I am not willing to lay the points here. I don't want to upset our producer, Wyatt Tomchek, who's a diehard UNLV fan.
Oh, JVT's going to fight you. He's trying to fight the whole city of Boise right now.
Yeah, well, he would lose that battle.
Lovely city, by the way. I love Boise, Idaho, just for just putting it out there.
The last time UNLV beat Boise State was 1976, when I was riding a big wheel and just learning to smoke and drink as a child. But you know what? It is 1976, the last time the Rebels beat the Broncos. I'd love to see UNLV pull it off. I'm kind of a UNLV guy, too. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to come up a little bit short here. I'm not willing to lay the points. I did play Boise minus 180 on the money line. I guess we could add that to my best bets. But I did play Boise on the money line here. I would not be crushed if I lose that bet, because I'd love to see UNLV win the game and get to the playoff. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Boise grinds out a close game and gets the win up in on the blue turf, thanks mostly to Ashton Genty, who has been unstoppable pretty much in every game except for the UNLV game. I just think it's going to be a much more difficult assignment up on the blue turf in the cold. The first time around, these teams played on the fast track at Allegiant Stadium here in Vegas.
Barry Odom and company did a phenomenal job limiting Ashton Genty, the only team this year to hold him under 4 yards per carry. He had 33 carries, 128 yards, just a long of 16. I mean, I'm going to run through this real quickly. These are his longest rushes in games so far this year: 77, 70, 68, 64, 75, 54, 16, 35, 46, 36, 61, 60. The dude is explosive. He did not have any explosive runs against UNLV. I give a lot of credit to Barry Odom and the defensive staff for limiting him. I played under his rushing total at Allegiant Stadium. It's 171.5. I don't think I'm going to get there. It was in the 190s when they played against Boise State back in late October. But I would actually lean more towards the Rebels here. But it does feel a little bit like I mentioned regarding the SEC championship, where you saw a movement of 7 points, a change of 7 points in the total. This is a change of essentially 3-4 points from Allegiant Stadium to the Smurf Turf, and the number being the same. But I would be on UNLV or pass. Let's go to another home site and another more than likely chilly atmosphere. Let's go to the banks of the Hudson River, Mikey Stadium. Beautiful.
I tell you, one of the great settings in all of college football.
8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Also on Friday night, get the multi-screens going, folks, because this is going to be a fun night of G5 football. Tulane at number 24, Army. And this number has been kind of bouncing around throughout the week. It opened 4, got to 6 in favor of Tulane. And right now, market-wide, 4.5. Total 45.5. There is a 46 out there in this particular game. Tulane was probably going to be near a double-digit favorite if they took care of business on Thanksgiving. Problem was, they did not take business on Thanksgiving. They lost as a double-digit favorite by double digits to Memphis. So now it's 4.5 because they're on the road at Mikey Stadium. Army was a team that I think the entire VSIN world bet against last week, and we were fortunate to get to the window there against UTSA. Got the cover against the Roadrunners with a late missed field goal. What do you make of this one? Army catching 4.5 at home against the Green Wave.
I want to play the Black Knights as home dogs. I've not got there yet. Bryson Daly's healthy. He's back running the offense again. He's accounted for more than 2,200 total yards this season, 33 touchdowns, about 1,350 on the ground. Obviously, it's a ground-based attack, and I know you're going to speak to this because John Sumrall, the Tulane coach, has got some experience facing these option offenses.
Sure does.
And he's got a very good background, a positive background when I talk about the experience facing the option offense. I want to get on the Army side. I'm not there yet, and we'll see if I get there by this game's Friday night, right?
Friday night, yep.
Friday night, and I like home dogs. I like the Black Knights a little bit. I wonder if – I don't think this is going to be a factor. I'm not going to handicap it this way. But John Sumrall, the Green Wave coach, is a wanted man out there in the coaching market right now.
Yep.
He's one of the hottest names. And North Carolina wants him. There's going to be a couple other openings he's rumored for. North Carolina has interviewed Bill Belichick, apparently. And John Sumrall is also on that short list. So he's done a hell of a job. But Tim, Tulane did not play its A game last week. And I don't know if Tulane's going to play its A game here. I kind of like Army, but again, you're going to talk about Sumrall and how he shut down option offenses.
Yeah, and I'll say this. You know, they went to Annapolis earlier this year. They played Navy. It was senior day. I was intrigued by the midshipmen. Blake Horvath did not play. He was hurt, and they got absolutely wiped off the floor. Navy did by Tulane. They were held to just a little over 100 yards rushing. They lost 35-0. You mentioned John Sumrall and his success. Let's go back to 2023. Army was a bit in flux, didn't really know what was going on offensively. Remember, they tried to go shotgun there for a bit last year. Troy beat them 19-0. And then in 2022, Troy also beat Army in a weird spot, you know, middle of the season there. Troy trying to win the Sun Belt, 10-9 was the final score. So there's a lot of familiarity. I like Tulane here, but I'm not going to lay the 4.5. So I'm going to probably have Tulane in a money line parlay, or maybe I'll just lay the money line here. So it's not going to be an official play, but I do like Tulane. I think it's a little bit of a buy low spot on Tulane coming off of a pretty poor performance. Actually, not pretty. It was very poor.
Very poor.
Against Memphis. They got their ass kicked. There was no which way or about it. Look at Bryson Daly, though. Remember, he missed the Air Force game due to injury. Next game back, they played UTSA. He ran for 153 yards. However, on 36 carries, just 4.3 yards per carry. Second worst performance from a yards per carry standpoint this season. His worst performance was the next week against Notre Dame. 145 yards on 38 carries, 3.8 yards per carry. And then against UTSA, 5.4 yards per carry, which is still solid, 147 yards, but still his fourth worst performance. I'm curious about the health of Bryson Daly. So I think I'm going to be on Tulane here. Got to figure out what I want to do ultimately with the Green Wave, whether it's pair them with a UL Lafayette or something like that. But I think the point that you made, Matt, that is making me a bit more hesitant is the John Sumrall situation. He's been asked about it. You know, you talk about other coaches kind of flirting with jobs like Marshall's Charles Huff, who reportedly is going to go to Southern Miss as soon as, you know, the game is over there in the Sun Belt Championship game. So there is a big concern there, but I would be more on the Tulane side than the Army side here. I think this Army team's a bit fraudulent this year, and when they've tried to punch up, it hasn't been all that successful. So I like Tulane, but ultimately I'm not going to lay the 4.5. Other game to get to here before we hit a quick break, Iowa State and Arizona State. Who would have thunk it preseason that Kenny Dillingham's squad, I believe in that 150-1 range, a team that on a Thursday night in September was catching 3 against Texas State. They are now a favorite in the Big 12 championship game, Arizona State and Iowa State. Point spread right now has Arizona State laying 2 against the Iowa State Cyclones. This will be a noon Eastern kickoff there at Jerry's World on ABC. Arizona State will be without a big-time player. How much will that affect the Sun Devils come Saturday afternoon? We'll get into that. We'll also get our best bet recap. One more segment to go. It is the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. We're here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. And thanks to all of you who have joined us for a special live edition on X. You could follow at VSiN Live, at Matt Eumanns 247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. We're also live right now on YouTube. And much appreciated to all of you who have subscribed to the podcast over the years here. All right, let's continue our thoughts on the Big 12 Championship. Once again, noon Eastern on ABC. This game will be taking place at Jerry's World down there in Arlington, Texas. And Arizona State, Matt, the best cover team in college football, 10-2 ATS on the year, are the Sun Devils. Cam Scatabo, what a monster he has been this year. 1,398 rushing yards for the Sun Devils, 17 rushing touchdowns. He's also got 35 receptions out of the backfield. Sam Levitt has been a very good wide quarterback this year for the Sun Devils. But what about the loss? The loss of Jordan Tyson. He is out for the remainder of the season for Arizona State. Leading receiver by miles, 75 receptions, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. The next leading receiver is Cam Scatabo with 35 receptions. Then you go to their tight end at 28. The next wide receiver is Xavier Guillory at 17 receptions on the year. What Kenny Dillingham has done has been absolutely remarkable, turning this program around as quickly as he has. But I'm going to trust in the man who loves to bend his brim so strong there, Matt Campbell on the sideline. And I'm going to take Iowa State here as a short dog. There are still twos out there. It'll be Iowa State 2. I'll take the money line as well. I think Iowa State gets this win. And it feels like they're just, for all the hype that Iowa State has had in recent years, where they were the team on the rise and they've got the hot coach, it's been quiet. I'm going to take Iowa State here. Give me the points with the Cyclones.
Yeah, I'm going to play Iowa State here too. I don't love the play, but I like it enough to play it. And again, I think Tyson's absence is going to be a big problem for this Arizona State offense because the young quarterback, Sam Levitt, doesn't really have any other wide receiver options to look to. So how much can Cam Scatabo do in this offense? He's doing almost everything. And again, he's a stud. He went for 177 yards on the ground last week against Arizona. And he's been doing 147 yards the previous week against BYU. He's done it week after week after week. Tim, a year ago, I promoted and played the Arizona State win total over in Kenny Dillingham's first year in Tempe. I really liked that coaching hire. When he came over from Oregon as offensive coordinator, I thought that was going to be a home run type of hire. A young, innovative OC to run that Arizona State program, guy with a bunch of energy. Well, I lost that bet because Arizona State stunk last year. But he has completely turned it around from 3-9 to right now 10-2. So I was a year ahead of the curve on Arizona State and Kenny Dillingham, but he got there. I just don't want to back here a second-year head coach and a freshman quarterback on a big stage, especially when your top wide receiver's out, when you're playing against a veteran coach, Matt Campbell, and a quarterback like Rocco Becht, who I do like a lot. And I think Iowa State's a little bit more dangerous here in the underdog role, a team that's kind of being disrespected, not talked about, like you said. All the buzz about Arizona State, no buzz about Iowa State, and I kind of like that here. Playing the Cyclones plus two.
You look at the wide receivers that Iowa State has, and, you know, people may not realize it, but this Iowa State team has two legit studs at wide receiver. Jaden Higgins, over 1,000 yards receiving, 80 catches on the year. Jalen Noel, also 1,000 yards receiving, and I'm with you. I like Rocco Becht. I think he makes some big plays. I bet against them when they went on the road to Morgantown, and he really excelled in that game. So, yeah, give me the Cyclones, a common play here for Matt and me. All right, we'll get to our best bet recap here in just a moment, but let's get to three other conference championship games. Let's go to Marshall at Louisiana. This game will be on Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern. And earlier this week on VSiN Primetime, college football handicapper Brad Powers was on the program, and his best bet was actually in this game. So let's hear from Brad Powers on Marshall at Louisiana for the Sun Belt Championship.
Yeah, my best bet for this week is Louisiana. I'm going to lay it. Go ahead and lay the 5.5. Looks like it's probably going to leak out even further than that. But a couple reasons. Number one, Marshall's overrated. I mean, they got this is a team playing in the conference championship game that got outgained in conference play this season. You look at yards per play differential. This is the biggest. You mentioned at the top all the short spreads this week. The biggest disparity in yards per play margin is this game, obviously in favor of Louisiana. And then thirdly, and I think most importantly here, actually I have four. Third for Louisiana, I think they got downgraded too much for losing their quarterback, Wooldridge. I mean, Chandler Fields has got a ton of experience and actually statistically in his last two games as a starter has been better than Wooldridge. So I don't think it's that big of a downgrade. And then finally, Charles Huff,
yeah,
the coach at Marshall. I don't think he's the coach at Marshall come Sunday. So I think that's a negative for Marshall.
Well, there you go. A best bet from Brad Powers on the Ragin' Cajuns. You can get a five out there. That is a night game on Louisiana Lafayette's home field, Cajun Field. Two other conference championship games, one on Friday, one on Saturday afternoon. Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State. Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State. We saw this game take place last week. Western Kentucky won on a 50-yard field goal at the gun. Jacksonville State closed that game minus one. They're minus 4.5 here in this game. Some fours out there in favor of the Fighting. Rich Rodriguez is the number of total, I should say, is down from 62 down to 57.5. 7 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports Network Friday. And then Matt, Ohio versus Miami of Ohio. The Red Hawks and the Bobcats, Ford Field, noon Eastern on ESPN. Miami of Ohio, a 2-point favorite, total of 44. Ohio has not won this conference since 1968.
That'll be the second best game played at Ford Field this week.
That is true.
By a long shot. And, you know, a couple of handicappers I really respect, like Miami of Ohio, minus two. Actually, you could lay 1.5 at Circa with the Red Hawks if you like Miami in that game. I don't pick many winners in the MAC, so I'm not going to try. As far as the Conference USA Championship game, Western Kentucky, coached by Tyson Helton, Jacksonville State, coached by Rich Rod, and both those guys, I think, viable candidates for the Purdue job. I think Tyson Helton might be the favorite to get the Purdue job, and nice showing by the Boilermakers a week ago in the old Oak and Bucky game.
66 to nothing, not too shabby.
You know what? That's what happens when you make a bad coaching hire, how quickly a football program can disintegrate. Because 2 years ago, Purdue was in the Big Ten championship game. And now probably the worst of all Division I teams, or close to it, definitely in the bottom five. When you make a bad coaching hire, the whole thing can fall apart. On the flip side, when you hire a guy like Kurt Cignetti or Barry Odom, Brett Lashley, yeah, things can definitely take a quick turn for the better. I lean Western Kentucky in this, but I really don't want to make this a best bet. I'm not sure if I'm going
to
play it.
Well, let's get to it. We run through all the games, and then in case you missed it, in case you're late to the show, that's okay. We tie it up very neatly at the end. Let's hit it, our best bets recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Mr. Humans, you've got two best bets as well as a futures play, so roll through them.
All right, Tim, we just talked about Iowa State plus two, yep. So I'm not going to beat a dead horse, more analysis on that one. But Cyclones plus two in the Big 12 championship game. Also, you know, if you like teasers, and I don't play teasers in college football, I played one the entire season. But you could tease Iowa State up to plus eight if there's something else you
Clemson.
Like it with. Yeah. If there's something else, yeah, it could be Clemson you could pair it with. That wouldn't be the worst idea to tease that up across several key numbers if you like the Cyclones side. Georgia plus three, DraftKings, South Point, a few other books out there have moved from 2.5 to three, and that's what I was waiting on this week. I played Georgia plus five in the first meeting in middle October. Bulldogs won that one 30-15, and I think the Georgia defense is going to be the difference again. I actually like both defenses a lot, but I've been fading Texas, maybe a little bit too much, but fading Texas in some spots because I don't believe Quinn Ewers, I don't believe in him as a quarterback. I think Arch Manning needs to play a little bit more for the Longhorns. But again, Kirby Smart here in the rematch. A lot of times handicappers will say, I want to play the team that lost the first time, the second time around. There have been seven rematches in SEC championship games since the late 90s. The team that won the first meeting won the second one in the conference title game 5 out of 7 times. I think Georgia wins it again. I'll take the plus three. Tim, you and I were at the LA Coliseum last week for Notre Dame-USC. Really impressed by Notre Dame on both sides of the ball. And in a sort of wide open 12-team playoff bracket, I like the Irish. I think they're as good as any team I've seen this season. Notre Dame at 10-1 to win the college football playoff.
And the draw could be very beneficial. We will see how it plays out come Sunday. All right, common play, both Matt and I on Iowa State. I like Clemson. I think they make things very interesting come Sunday morning. And I'm going to be the crazy one. I'm going to put a half unit on Alabama to miss the college football playoff. Clemson wins close. Alabama misses the playoff. By the way, at FanDuel, plus 320 on Alabama to miss the playoff. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Isaiah. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to all of you for watching live on Twitter and YouTube. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.